16, I think, is what I want. And then I want you to go get, grab your hymn book and turn back to hymn 509. And I told Mike, I said, somebody needs, we need to start singing some of the Psalms in our church. And that was, I know quite a few of them myself. And like I could say, open your Bible to Psalm 19, we could sing that. Open your Bible to Psalm 61 and sing that. Open your Bible to Psalm 25 and sing that. Some of you probably know the same thing as well. But not a lot of people know them. In a biblical song service is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we sing a lot of hymns. We sing a lot of spiritual songs. But we're very weak on the hymns, on the psalms. So Mike, he's been working on that for us. So we appreciate that. You guys can come in out there if you want to. Tell them people they can come on in. If you're in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, I'm going to talk in here this morning and get your hymn book first and look at hymn 509, and I want you to notice the fourth verse. You sang this a little while ago. It says, take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Now, I'm going to been teaching on Sunday school on anger, but not everybody is in my Sunday school class. Obviously, none of the teachers are, and Brother Chris has a class in here. Some people are in his class, some people are in my class. But I am going to talk about anger this morning. Now, it's not, I haven't said what I'm going to say in Sunday school, but some of you might think, well, we're getting a double dose, but it's a little different, okay? And but anyway, I want you to notice this. It says, take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. See, we have to place ourselves beneath the Lord's control. If you're going to control anger, you've got to be under the control of the Spirit. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. And I can tell you, angry people can be very difficult people to deal with. So let's pray. And then as I get along here, I'm going to read several passages of Scripture to you. Father, I come into your presence and I pray if anybody here struggles with this whole issue of anger. And we've been teaching in Sunday school. And we have several people that are very honest, very open, will admit that, you know, anger is an issue. But we're going to only look at another, just a little bit of an aspect of it today. I pray that you would help people to deal with this. This is a strong emotion, and it can be destructive. It can ruin people. It can ruin their relationships. It can it can split up homes and split up families and cause people to lose their jobs. And it just causes hurt and pain. And so I really would like to see people deal with this, and I'm sure, I know, according to your word, you would as well. So we commit this service to you, and we pray you'll speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I mentioned, some of you probably know, we've been teaching on anger in Sunday school, and we had a lesson. Our first lesson was on this, are you angry? Because if you're going to, you got to identify if you're angry or not before you can begin to deal with it. So the first thing we talked about was, are you angry? And then we talked a little bit about the second lesson we had was the consequences of anger. I didn't know this until when I started working on this, but did you know that medical doctors say that anger has the same effect on you as smoking and high cholesterol? I was not aware of that. Now, you know, high cholesterol and smoking, they ain't good for you. So evidently, anger is not good for anybody either. Physically, I listed about 20 different physical effects that anger can have on people. And so then we talked about, well, how do people deal with anger? And there's several different ways people deal with it. Some suppress it and some repress it and some just explode it. And I had two types of anger we talked about a little bit. One was like a crock pot anger, you know, just gets inside you and just simmers and simmers and simmers and pretty soon, boy. And then we have shotgun anger, you know, that just explodes and goes all over the place and makes a mess out of everything. And so we talked about some of those things. And then last week we started to talk about how do we deal with anger. And then we're going to continue that today back there, but also can we deal with it biblically? And so when we think about anger, you have to ask yourself those questions. Are you angry? And then you have to ask, who are you angry toward? Or maybe, what are you angry toward? What's the circumstance that you're angry toward? And how is it affecting your life? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If it's not righteous indignation, it is not affecting your life for the good. This was the definition that we gave in Sunday school. A strong feeling of intense displeasure or hostility or indignation, insult or frustration or injustice towards yourself or somebody that you love. And listen, as a result of something real or not real. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes people get mad at things that never even happened. Or they're mad about things that never even got said. And they're like, where'd you come up with that? So, but anger is it's a common emotion, really. And it's not always bad. For instance, we'll look again here. Jesus got angry. Of the anger, you know who the most angry person in the Old Testament was? God himself. Over 350 references in the Old Testament concerning God being angry. The difference between God's anger and my anger is this. God is angry at the right things and in the right way, and he has the right solution and he has the right formula. But I'm not always angry at the right things and in the right way, and I sometimes don't have any solution except blow up, which solves absolutely nothing. So we're going to talk about this a little bit here. I want you to begin here in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I'll read a few verses here and then keep your Bible right there handy, because we're going to follow a little bit about with David's life. And I want you to notice, and when King David came to, however you say that, Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. Now Shimei, not good, the son of Gera, he came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David, at all the servants of King David. All the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, that thou may, thou man of Belial. Now, what he's calling David is, David, you reprobate, you come on out. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 16. If it's, listen, I have a reason for that. I had a wisdom tooth pulled Friday. And I lost all my brains, okay? So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Would you please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16? Somebody should have stopped me quicker, man. All right, I'll start over. It's verse 5 of 2 Samuel 16. All right, that's where the 5 came in. I just had it out of order because I got no more wisdom, no more brains. They're all gone. I'm going to milk that for all it's worth, by the way. And when King David came to this place that I mentioned earlier, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at the servants of the king David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. So he's calling David bloodthirsty, and he's calling him a reprobate. The Lord hath returned thee upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom under thy hand of Absalom thy son. Well, Absalom had actually raised up a revolt against his father. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. So Abishai had a solution to deal with Shimei, and that is, let me go there and cut his head off. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Now we're going to keep reading here on this story in just a few moments. I don't know a lot about volcanoes, but I know a little bit about volcanoes. And I know a little bit about anger. I know it from myself, and I know it by watching others as well. When you think about a volcano, some people's anger is like a volcano. Pressure builds up for years, and it's beneath the surface of that volcano, and, you know, nothing really happens horrible. But then, when the pressure reaches a certain point, that volcano erupts, and it spews lava and smoke into the atmosphere and dust all over. And that's kind of like somebody who's got anger, and they're stirring inside them, and it's stirring inside them, and all of a sudden it just, boom, it just comes out. It's like a volcano, and it makes a mess. When Chris and I went to Italy, we went to Pompeii. Anybody here ever been to Pompeii? Who has? Anyway, well, in Pompeii there was a volcano. Well, the people didn't get out. They don't have all the warning signs like we have today. And when you go, and you can see it all, and how fast and how the dust just covered people. Well, they've got some people that were mummified in that dust, and they've got them where you can go see them. And one lady must have saw the dust coming. They still have her where she's all curled up like that. and another lady was pregnant, and you can obviously make her out, and just awful. When a volcano reaches a certain pressure point and it erupts, it's bad news. And I'll say this, you don't want to be near a volcano when it erupts. And we won't read all the Proverbs today, but you really don't want to be around an angry person when they erupt. Nobody does. Now, a lot of people are notorious for failing to deal properly with anger. They just don't deal with it the right way. Sometimes we let it build up to a boiling point, like this pressure in a volcano, and like a volcano, we just, you know, eventually we erupt. Because anger is such a strong emotion that you can't just hide it. You just can't keep it suppressed forever. It's going to come out. And if you have a bad day at work and you're angry at work, a lot of times when you come home, you bring that anger home with you. You know why? It just doesn't go away. It's there. It's inside you. It's an emotional thing. And everybody has it. Now, when that happens, when we erupt, victims nearby, they get caught in the destruction. They feel that dust and that lava and that smoke. Other times we get angry for the right reasons, but we participate in an unhealthy outlet for our emotions. Sometimes the anger is right, and sometimes the way we deal with it is right, and that's what we refer to as righteous indignation, and I'll mention shortly, but that's what Jesus had. Now, hold your place here in 2 Samuel, it's not that hard to find, but jump ahead to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. I'll quote it, but you can turn there and look at it. A couple one time came in, and they were wanting to do some counseling, and so, but they had a real communication problem. And what she, the wife, which most, this is my opinion, I might be wrong. I think men struggle with anger more than women. But in this particular case, her husband said she had a temper problem, and she admitted, yes, I do have a temper problem. And he admitted, and she admitted, that his wife verbally abused her husband. Now, she said this, her husband's behavior reminded the wife on a subconscious level of her dad. Now listen, who she had been estranged from for several years. And over time, her anger that she had expressed toward her dad was being expressed toward her husband. That is a normal process in anger. That's just like almost textbook. So I'm mad at my dad. I'm not, but I'm just saying, okay. I'm mad at my dad for something he did to me years ago. You know who I'm going to take it out on? I'm taking it out on my wife. I'm going to take it out on my kids. I'm going to take it on people I work with. I'm going to take it out on my friends. Because here's what happens. Because that's sometimes it's like a crock pot. And it's inside me, and it's stewing. And I'm thinking about it, and I can't really focus on anything completely because this thing is just bugging me. You know how that works. And it comes out. Now, you look there at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, and it says this, looking diligently. You better try to look diligently and examine and try to figure out why you're angry. Who are you angry at? What's the circumstances that made you angry? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. And then it says this, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So anger, if it's not dealt with properly, it turns to bitterness. Now look at the last part of the verse. And thereby, you're the only one that gets defiled. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. Whereby many are defiled. So you see, this strong emotion of anger can affect a lot of people. And it is one of these things, and we've been talking about several of these things, that we have to be careful of that are hazards in our life. Now, the husband did not realize why certain things brought out the verbal abuse from his wife. Finally, at the end of the story, she learned to filter her responses. But what happens is we get angry. And we get angry for several reasons. Some people's anger, the fuse is shorter than other people. Some things we get angry at are good. Some things are not good. But when we respond in anger to sin and its consequences, for instance, we're showing anger at the same things that God got angry at. You read in the Old Testament, and you'll find God was angry about 350 times. But you'll find out that God gets angry at the things that we ought to get angry at. Sometimes we react in anger when we feel afraid or when we feel concerned, or when we feel trapped, financially trapped, or occupationally trapped, or relationally trapped, and we go on in an attack mode sometimes, and we get angry, and there's this frustration, and there's this insult that somebody says. And other times, anger comes as a result of feeling that we are robbed of something to which we are entitled. Why'd that person get a promotion? I didn't get no promotion. Why'd they get a raise? I didn't get no raise. You know, the Bible teaches very simply how to deal with that. Rejoice with them that rejoice. If somebody gets a raise and you don't, praise God. That's biblical principle. Some people never mature to even to that little bit of level of biblical maturity. Anyway, it's a sad thing. Now let me ask you something while you think about that. Somebody gets a raise, how do you feel? Somebody gets a promotion, how do you feel? I used an illustration. What was I teaching on? I was teaching on Joseph in Friday morning in chapel. And Joseph, you know, he was dealt a pretty rough hand in his life. You know that when you read his life? But I was talking about, you know, we rejoice with those that rejoice. And I pulled my phone off my side, and I said, I'm going to give this phone to this little girl right here. I wasn't really, but I wanted to see some of the reactions. And one of the little girls is like, well, I want it. Well, that's not fair. It's like, you're supposed to rejoice. They're already learning how to say, I want that. That, you know, that's not fair and all that. They're just little. That was the front row kids. They're the little ones. The older ones were in the back. I don't know what they thought. But King David felt entitled to receive praise from a citizen of his nation. He didn't get that. The man responded with curses. That's Shimei. David, now you're going to see this. David was guilty of holding on to this anger the rest of his life. He never resolved this biblically. David was a powerful man. He had a powerful army. It was not likely that anybody could have ever defeated David with his army at this time. But there was one enemy that David would yield to without a fight, and that was his son Absalom. David did not want to kill his son. He did not want that battle to happen. In fact, when you read it, it says when Absalom finally got killed, he said, Absalom, Absalom, my son, would God that I had died for thee. But when Absalom had led this coup against his father, David, instead of fighting, he chose to flee. He did not want to fight, didn't want to kill his son. Being run out of town by his own flesh and blood perhaps was the lowest point in David's life. Now, you've read some of the events there in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let's go to chapter 19, and let's read some of this story piece by piece a little bit. Verse 18 of 2 Samuel 19. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do that what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which is thy servant did previously, the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Now, if you remember, the first time Shimei talked to David, he said, come on out, you reprobate, and he's cursing him. Now, he's fallen down before him, because David is now returning to Jerusalem to take the kingship. For the servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, remember him, he's the one that said, let me go cut his head off, the son of Jeriah, answered and said, shall not Shimei put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Jeriah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day the king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king sware unto him. So this time he comes, now move ahead to 1 Kings chapter 2. The first time he comes to the king, he's cursing him. The second time he comes, he's asking for forgiveness. And now we come to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the sons of David drew nigh that he should die. So now we're getting along in David's life. He's getting old. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, they shall not fail thee, said he, amen, on the throne of Israel. Now jump ahead a little bit more in that same chapter to verse 8. And behold, now watch this. Thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite of Baram, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanan. Now, did you notice David never forgot that? He's on his deathbed. Years have gone by, maybe 10 years or whatever has gone by. And he brings it up. Now, I'm going to suggest something. I don't think David ever forgot him. Why not? He brought it up. Now, watch. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest that thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoary head bring thou down to the grave with blood. And so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. What was the last words on his mouth before he died? That thing with Shimei. When Shimei came to curse him. So in 2 Samuel 16, it tells how Absalom ran his dad out of town. Now, we didn't read all of it, but you can go back and read all these chapters in here. These are really interesting chapters in the Bible. Shimei comes along, curses the king, insults the king, casts stones at the king. That was one of the things that I mentioned in our definition that makes people angry. Insults. People say things that bother them. Abishai, David's bodyguard says, I got a solution. Let's cut his head off and be done with it. David chose to let Shimei live. That was a decision, and that was a choice that David made. Now, as the king, he could have told Abishai, go ahead and cut his head off, but he didn't. Anyway, when we came to 2 Samuel 19, Shimei shows up again. This time, David is not fleeing in defeat. He's returning to the throne of Jerusalem after Absalom's death. Then he asks David for forgiveness to spare his life. Abishai said, don't do it. But David, in a moment of weakness, and maybe that had to do with the timing of Shimei, that's why he came and he was in an emotional time and Absalom had just been killed, took an oath and said, Shimei, you're not going to die. In 10 years or so, since the event David never forgot or seemed to never have forgiven a single word that Shimei, when he cursed him. The last verse that we read in 1 Kings chapter 2 in verse 10 records David's death. And it is right after he tells his son Solomon what he should do with Shimei. Now, it seems to me that the last words on his lips were words that are full of anger and resentment. Now remember something, David made a decision to let him live. All those years gone by, still inside. Now, while David had a good reason to be angry at first, he did not have a good reason to remain angry indefinitely. And herein, beloved, lies a lot of people's problem. Maybe somebody did insult you, or something happened that frustrated you, or something happened that you felt was an injustice, although an injustice can be righteous indignation. But so you said, you know, this made me mad right here. I got angry right here. But after a few years, you know, it's time to get over it. It's time to move on. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many are defiled. Do you know my anger ultimately will affect everybody around me? And so it is contagious, and yours as well. Now, I grew up in a family, and most of you know my dad. You know Amber, and I think you might know her dad is my brother John, my youngest brother. My dad and my brother John, now they only live 4 miles apart. 2-3 years one time, never said a word to each other. Dad was mad at John, John was mad at Dad. I don't even know what they were mad about. And that was a common thing in my family. My sister Jody, oh, she could hold grudges. Get mad about something and not talk to you, hold grudges, be mean. My mom and dad would have an argument, then they might not talk for three, four months at a time. I'm sorry, a month at a time. My grandmother lived right on I think it's East Dominic Street, anywhere when you go out of Rome, right next door to her sister for 10 years, they never said one word. They were bitter and angry at each other and hold grudge for 10 years. I told my dad one day, I said, don't you think that life's a little bit short to be holding a grudge for that long? And at that, I don't know if he'd say the same thing now. I'd like to think he wouldn't. But when I asked him that question, then he said, nope. I'm thinking, what do you mean, nope? They're sisters. They're living right next door to each other. Nope. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. Now, this is a sad thing. Could have been, I mean, somebody comes out and insults you and calls you a reprobate. Says you're a bloodthirsty man. Okay, you might get angry at that. You might say, what's up with this dude? But you know what? After a while, you just got to let it go. At some point, his anger, David's anger, turned to bitterness and sin because it went unresolved. And it seems to me pretty clear that by the time we get to the end of his life, it's still unresolved. Now, let me talk to you just for a couple of minutes about righteous anger. Resolved righteous anger is biblical, and it's good. Unresolved and unrighteous anger is not. We must strive to be angry over the right things and avoid getting angry over the wrong things. The problem with you and I, we have way more experience about being angry over the wrong things than we do the right things. And we must manage our righteous anger biblically so that it does not turn into bitterness and sin and defile everybody around us. Now, as you read the Bible, Jesus experienced certain emotions like you and I do. He experienced joy. Turn to Mark chapter 3, for instance. He experienced sorrow. He experienced compassion. He experienced grief. He wept. He got hungry. He got angry. And trepidation. And he showed other emotions. Mark chapter 3. So all anger can't be sin. And when he had looked, verse 5, Mark 3 and 5, when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, he's in a discussion with the Pharisees, as normal, and he's angry at them. His anger is right, and it's righteous. So when our anger is right and it's righteous, that's the kind of anger that Jesus had. We call it righteous indignation. Now look at chapter 10, at verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, so now he's displeased again, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Then, of course, if you remember, in John chapter 2, that's probably the most famous passage of Scripture where Jesus got angry that people know about. He became angry, and he always became angry for the right reason, and he managed his righteous anger biblically. Now, in John 2, that's where Jesus cleansed. Why don't you turn there? That's where Jesus cleansed the temple, and he found that the temple was being abused. Now, the temple, he referred to the temple as my Father's house. And around verse 14, I think, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out, all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. He was angry over the right things. His Father's house was being violated. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. I mean, the Lord got angry over the right things, and he dealt with it the right way. Now, there is a time and there is a place for anger. And when we experience biblical anger, we must manage that anger appropriately. David didn't. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people today that don't. You have a lot of reasons in America to be angry today. Same-sex marriage makes me angry. I was disgusted when that passed. Lost people's sin. My own sin makes me angry. It's like, what in the world is wrong with me? What's going on with the transgender agenda? That makes me angry. When I see, by the way, somebody asked me this morning what I thought about the president's statement on the NFL. I thought he was spot on. This is America. If you don't like America, go live somewhere else. Anyway, I'll get off of that. But that kind of stuff, that makes me angry. I was going to say something, but never mind. There is a time and there is a place for anger. David never dealt with it. Now, Jesus did four things when he cleansed the temple. He was angry about the things that God was angry about. In this case, the temple of God was being misused. As a result, God was being dishonored. And anytime God is dishonored, it ought to make you angry. It ought to bother you. Nothing selfish, nothing self-seek. You know what a lot of times our anger is because? We're selfish. Let me give you an illustration every person here can relate to. Did you ever see a little kid throw a tantrum? You know why? They're not getting their way. Do you know what? Sometimes you see it, a man gets 20 years old or a woman gets 20, 25 years old. They're still throwing tantrums because they're not getting their way. Do you know what happens sometimes when guys hit 30 and 40 and 50, ladies hit 30 and 40 and 50? They're still throwing tantrums. They've never grown up from a little baby when they threw tantrums, and now when they get older, they're still throwing tantrums and they're still immature with their anger. And they've never matured. Jesus was angry over the right things. The Father's house was being abused. Nothing selfish. He wasn't crying, I'm hungry now, I want to be fed now, I need this now. What he wasn't doing. He was defending God's house, which was being abused and misused. The second thing he was angry at the time of the abuses. He wasn't angry 10 years later. Remember what he said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Lord, these were the guys, Father, these were the guys that were in the temple abusing it that day. He didn't say that. Some of that crowd was there. He addressed it, and then it was done. He was angry there, and he left it there. Thirdly, he communicated his anger. Everybody knew he was angry. When he made a whip, it was a pretty good clue that he was angry. And when he grabbed the table and flipped it up in the air and money went flying all over, it was a pretty good indication that everybody there knew that he was angry, and then they were leaving, and they were leaving there quickly. He used words and actions to the people who were causing it. They knew he was angry. They knew why he was angry. Fourthly, he allowed himself to have emotions, but he controlled his emotions. He didn't erupt. He took time. He said, I think this is what he said. He said, well, I am upset with this. I don't like what's going on here, and here's what I'm going to do. And he made a whip. And he got them animals out of there. The text does not indicate any verbal abuse, doesn't indicate any physical abuse, but he handled it right way. By the way, I wonder if Jesus would go somewhere today and kick all the animals out if the animal rights people would have to take him to law and court on that. But anyway, that's another subject, isn't it? Here's the thing. Our emotions of anger will be obvious, but it can't run wild. That's what happens. Sometimes people get angry and it runs wild. And then here's what happens. And I'm going to give you six or seven ways here how to manage your anger shortly. It runs wild. You say things that are hurtful. You wish you'd have never said them. But you know, once they're out there, they're out there. Then sometimes people go even further and they do things that they wish they'd have never done. They hit children. They hit their husband or hit their wife. They're abusive. Jesus did it right. He was angry for the right reason. He managed his anger appropriately, but we don't always manage it appropriately. Now, the real problem with a man and his anger is mismanagement. The real problem with anger in a woman is mismanagement. I've mismanaged my anger before. I've done things like that was stupid. I've had my anger control me. David mismanaged his by not resolving it. But you would like to think that as you grow up and as you mature, you learn to deal and manage your anger biblically. How do we mismanage our anger? Well, sometimes it's absent anger. To never get angry shows a lack of passion. Something ought to fire you up once in a while, man. What was your response when you heard same-sex bill, that's been a few years now, marriage passed. What was your first response? Absolutely disgusting. Wasn't that awful? What was the first thing you thought of when... There's a lot of other things that bother me. When the Affordable Health Care Act, that's costing me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. My copays have gone up 35%. Ridiculous how much everything has gone up for affordable health. What a disaster that is. What a nightmare. Well, that makes me angry. Who are you going to vote for? Somebody that ain't for it, I'll tell you that right now. That's what I'm going to do about it. I think it's awful. It's the second worst bill ever happened, maybe the first worst bill economy-wise for our nation. The first was President Clinton's free trade agreement. The NAFTA bill, that was another nightmare. But these things are killing us. And they're anti-American, anti-philosophy of America. Well, sometimes people don't ever get fired up about nothing. And don't you have any passion? Anger, somebody said, is a divinely implanted emotion. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry, just don't sin. And he says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You should never pillow your head at night when you're angry at somebody. Secondly, there's impulsive anger. You just get angry too fast. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, you be slow to anger. But some people, man, they got a fuse just a little bitty thing, and they blow up. Those with impulsive anger, they can't control it. It controls them. They are combustible. They're reckless. It's not good. They blow up at their spouse. They blow up their kids. The third way some have is just explosive anger. That's sinful anger also. Unhealthy anger. We will say things, do things, foolish things, really, really bad things. We can use explosive language, unkind words, yell, scream. In this case, you may be angry at the right thing, but you may be expressing your anger in an unhealthy and an unbiblical manner. Fourthly, there's unresolved anger. This can lead to resentment. That's what happened to David. Never resolved it. You need to resolve it quickly. And there's misdirected anger. It goes toward innocent victims. This is where unresolved anger leads to. Now, God asked Jonah, Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? You know what Jonah said? Yeah, I do. God's like, Jonah, no, you don't. No, you don't. His anger was unwarranted. And I'll tell you something else. It was unprovoked. By the way, if you don't know the story of Jonah, you know what he got angry at? God sent revival to Nineveh. Ever hear of a preacher getting angry over revival? Jonah. Now, and I won't get to this in Sunday school today, but I will hope to get to it next week. But we resolve anger through forgiveness. I get asked, do I have to forgive a person who is wrong? I want you to listen well to what I'm going to say next, and I've got 7 or 8 steps I need to get to here. Do I have to forgive a person who has wronged me if he does not ask for my forgiveness? Because those people often wrestle with anger. Let me say 2 things, and I want you to get this. When somebody asks for forgiveness, we should forgive them. And we forgive them for their sake. Now listen, when a person does not ask for forgiveness, we should forgive them for our sake. Because you know who's going to be boiling inside? They never came and asked me for forgiveness. They might have totally forgot all about it. You know that? And you know, there might be one person that you're hurting the most, and that's yourself and everybody affiliated with your life. What an awful thing that is. So when somebody asks for forgiveness, we forgive them for their sake. When somebody doesn't ask for forgiveness, we then forgive them for our sake. Now, we may not verbalize it, but in our heart, we have experienced peace about the situation. Withholding forgiveness hurts us because it kills our peace. Recently, I heard from a man who had not spoken to his father for 15 years. This is a story I read, by the way. His father had been abusive to the family for years before his mother divorced him. Today, the grown children struggle with anger. They struggle with insecurity. They struggle with broken relationships. The man said that he phoned his father out of the blue 2 years ago, and he wanted to meet with his dad. When they met, the grown man told his father that he had forgiven him. And then somebody asked the man, did he apologize? You know what the guy said? No, he never apologized. He didn't even acknowledge that he had done anything wrong. But I told him that I was still going to forgive him because I needed to move on with my life. You forgive people even when they don't ask for forgiveness for yourself, and so you can move on with your life. He went on to say, Although the abuse had stopped nearly two decades ago, the unforgiveness had enabled his father to control him. It wasn't his father's unforgiveness, it was his own unforgiveness. And the only way he was going to move forward was to forgive his father unconditionally. And then he was asked how he felt since doing it. This is the one word he used. I felt free. I was free. Now let me get back to David for a minute. It was more than 10 years since Shimei had insulted him when he approached David to apologize. Been quite a while now. He verbally forgave him, but I said earlier, I don't think he really did forgive him. Instead, bitterness and resentment and all these negative emotions, they ate away at him and ate away at him. Now, how do you manage anger? Because I'm going to say, anger cannot be avoided. I've been angry before, and I know that I'll be angry again. Now, it'd be nice to think that I'd only be angry ever at the right things. That's a nice thought, isn't it? I don't know that that'll happen, but that really is a good thought. So let me give you a few things. We didn't tape these lessons in Sunday school, but I want to mention six or seven things here. First of all, let me say this, embrace righteous anger. You read your Bible, and you find out what God is mad about. And you get mad at those things. And you'll find that usually iniquity, transgression, sin, usually they're involved there. Now, secondly, you need to confess your anger mismanagement. So let's say you say, oh, Pastor, I get angry. You have no idea. Listen, I've already had some people tell me that in Sunday school, okay? You don't need to tell me. You can tell the Lord. You can tell me if you want to, but you need to tell the Lord. You confess your anger. God, I don't manage my anger biblically. If you are angry at things that God isn't angry at, you need to confess your feelings to God. And confess your poor behavior that has resulted from your anger. Now, you ought to ask yourself this question. Do I have a good reason to be angry? So, secondly, confess your anger. Thirdly, develop a healthy outlet for your frustrations and stress. You know, stress is part of life. Frustration is part of life. They're there. When I say develop a healthy outlet, find something you enjoy doing that can be an outlet for your anger. Like, some people like to exercise. Some people like to read. Some people like to work in the yard. Some people hunt. Some people fish. Some people golf. I don't want anybody to want to chase a little white ball around a great big green grass field, but if that's good for you, then you have a good time. Some people love the golf. Never golfed one round of golf in my life except at the little, what do you call it, miniature golf. Find something to do. Find a hobby. Find an outlet. Now, don't take on an unhealthy habit. Like, you know what some people do? Some people, and I really don't know how this happened, but I just know it has happened. You know what some people do, how to handle things? They overeat. They find a bag of potato chips or whatever, chocolate, you know, a gallon or two of ice cream, and they just like, okay, that's not a healthy way to deal with anger. Or I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm just going to sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep. Well, that's not a healthy way to deal with it. Or they get physically aggressive. Or they yell. Or they fall into addictions. So I said develop a healthy outlet for your frustrations. Number five. Forgive the people who have made you angry. They didn't ask me to. You forgive them anyway. They asked me to. So did Shimei. I asked David. David didn't forgive him. Don't forget to ask for forgiveness of those people that you have hurt when you've got angry. And then listen, you need to ask God for victory. And I want to give you something that really I didn't think about it till the other day when I was reading my Bible. I thought I had a piece of paper with me, but I guess I wrote some things down. But you need to build a tower of truth if you struggle with anger. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, do you read a Proverbs? Anybody here, don't raise your hand, never mind. Sometimes you read the book of Proverbs through, you read one proverb a day for the month, and you go back and do it again. Well, when you read the book of Proverbs, it's really a good way to build a tower of truth. I'm probably going to preach a sermon on this. So you're reading through. I guess I didn't. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Now, this would happen to be one of the Proverbs for today. For this week that I was reading through. And I started to notice several things in this particular chapter. Now, there is a couple verses about anger in here somewhere. I didn't highlight them. I wasn't reading this Bible. But verse 11, oh, there's one of them, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And look what it says. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, if I had an anger problem, I'd memorize that verse. There's several verses. And as you went down through here, I found two or three. Now, here's how you build a tower of truth. So you're reading through Proverbs, and you're struggling with anger. Well, I happened to note that verse because I knew I was going to be preaching on that this week and teaching on Sunday school, so that one popped out at me. So you make a list. Okay, I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with, I don't know, alcohol or whatever. Pick something. And as you read through Proverbs, you write those references down. And you build your own tower of truth. And then you put them on a little 3x5 card and you carry those things in your pocket. And every time you sense that you're going to do something the wrong way or you're going to respond the wrong way, you know what you do? You reach in your pocket and you pull out, or your purse, and you pull out those 3x5 cards and you read what God's word says about it. And you try to memorize. Well, I can't memorize. I don't believe it. But let's pretend you really can't memorize them. You can learn all the principles in them. Everybody can learn the principles in them. No excuse. All right, so you do your best to memorize them, get them as close as you can get them. You ought to try to get them word perfect if you can. But some of you are going to say, I can't. Okay, then learn all the principles, and everybody here can do that. And so whatever the issue is that today we talked about anger, you go to the Word of God and you find every verse. James 1:19 is a good one to memorize. Be slow to anger. Quick to hear. You know, we do just the opposite. We're slow to, you ever see people talk over people? Man, I hate that. Because they're not quick to hear. You start talking, but they jump right on you. They don't even want to let you. You can't even finish your sentence. Man, that bugs me. I hate that when people do that to me. That's one of those pet peeves I have. Quick talkers. But anyway, so you go to the Bible and you build yourself a tower of truth. What's God's word say about this? What's God's opinion on this whole matter of anger? How do I deal with this biblically? Now, this is something else you could do. I didn't do it this week, but I do read through Proverbs this month. And by the way, there's a couple verses in chapter 19. There's a verse or two in chapter 20. And there might have been one in chapter 17 or 18. Anyway, as you go through the whole book of Proverbs, you'll find several on anger. So take a chapter a day and read it. And every time you come to anger and strife and, you know, vain words and things like that, there's another thing about your mouth. You ought to see all the verses in Proverbs about a person's mouth. And anyway, and you write them all down, and you memorize those things, and then you go back, and you just have yourself a just beautiful tower of truth. I'm tempting myself to do this. I'm going to take a sheet of paper, and I'm going to write alcohol, mouth, family, anger, slothfulness, and laziness. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about slothfulness and laziness, especially Proverbs. And I'm going to, and then when I read through Proverbs again, I'm going to mark all the references in all these different categories and see what I come up with. Now, there's a lot of categories. You'll come across fools and foolishness over and over and over and over again. But there's some of those subjects that are really in there. You want victory over anger? Some of you already know, I don't always handle my anger right. Sometimes I'm a stinking volcano, man. I just blow up. And then that dust comes out and that lava comes out and I just make a mess all over everything and everybody. And it ain't no good. And that ain't very good English, is it? That's because I lost that tooth. I told you that already. It's no good. It really hurts people. It hurts your relationships. It hurts yourself. It hurts people. So here's poor David. Man after God's own heart. Don't tell me Christians can't have anger. David did. And he gets angry. Guy comes and asks for forgiveness. He says, okay, we're not going to kill you. 10 years later, he's on his deathbed. And he tells Solomon, and you know what to do with Shimei. I can't believe he still remembered it, to be honest. But he did. Maybe you got a memory like an elephant. And you say, I remember when somebody hurt me back there 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. You know, you're hanging on to that thing. You know that's going to hurt you. And it's going to hurt everybody around you. That's what Hebrews, that's another one for your Tower of Truth. Hebrews says, whereby many are defiled. It has to be dealt with. They didn't ask for forgiveness. You forgive them for yourself. Father, anger is a problem. It's a problem that we have. You made us emotional beings, emotional people. We have joy, we laugh, we cry. Our soul is the seat of our emotions. And there's negative emotions. And we get angry. That's the emotion that we dealt with today. And it's a powerful thing. Intense displeasure. Now, I know there's people here that struggle with it. I know there is. So my prayer is they learn how to resolve it biblically, deal with it biblically, and be done with it. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, faith is playing. Now I want you to think, who are you angry at? What circumstance has made you angry? Why are you angry? Well, somebody's got it better than me, and I'm a little upset that I don't have it as good as them. Well, praise God for them. So-and-so said something to me, insulted me like David 10 years ago, and I still can't get over it. You got to get over it. You got to give it to the Lord. You got to move on. You're going to hurt your relationships. You're going to hurt everybody around you because eventually it's going to come out. You go to work tomorrow and you have a bad day, you'll probably let everybody know about it when you get home. It's the way anger works. It's a bad thing. If you know you've hurt somebody, you go confess to them. You ask them to forgive you. And you get serious about dealing with this anger thing and you build yourself a tower of truth. Wives get mad at their husbands. Husbands get angry at their wife. Mad at their children. Children get mad at their parents. Everybody's mad at everybody. And you resolve today, beloved, I'm going to deal with this angry. Maybe you're angry at God. People get mad at God. People get mad at God all the time. Listen, deal with your anger. Be angry at things God's angry at. But other than that, you better deal with it biblically or you're going to hurt people and you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt your relationships. All right, let's stand together and let's dismiss in prayer. Let's get ready for Sunday school. Our Father, a very strong emotion is the emotion of anger. There can be indignation, might be righteous and right, good anger. Used in the right way for the right cause and in the right time. But then sometimes we have, and unfortunately, we have way more experience at bad anger. I pray that people see how destructive it can be, how hurtful it can be, damaging. And we would resolve to deal with it biblically. If somebody's come and asked us to forgive us, I pray we wouldn't be like David, who had an unforgiving heart. Never did forgive Shimei. And Lord, we need to forgive regardless. So I pray that you'd bless the teaching of your word and the principles that we saw in it today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll go get ready for Sunday.